Two Seekers. Oops. Let me try that again. Bring the music back. Hey, Truth Seekers! That's awful, right? Before you open your mic and say, hey, Truth Seekers, you get a frog in your mouth, or in your throat, or wherever the damn thing landed. I was going to do the, "Arg, it's time for the Malloy Show!" You know, the pirate thing, but apparently I can't do that. Welcome to the program tonight. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. Weirdness abides, it still does, right? The Senate failed today on a couple of things. First of all, they failed to restore, habeas corpus. We are still a nation without something that the British common law granted to its citizens just a whole clutch of centuries ago. But we are without it. It continues tonight. We fell 4 votes short of restoring the sine qua non, the fundamental constitutional right of individuals to challenge government detention. Now, you remember the Republicans took that away in last year's Military Commissions Act. I hope America will remember what these Republican bastards have done over the past 6 years. I just hope. And that when the elections come, they will be retired to a minority party that will not be able to surface and do damage to this country again for at least 50 or 60 years. I hope that that happens. 56 senators voted to support a procedural move to tie the habeas corpus provision to the legislation authorizing defense spending. And that's a step that requires 60 votes. But believe it or not, we could only find 56 United States senators who believe in the United States Constitution. Close your ears. Son of a bitch, I don't believe this. Do you? The amendment was sponsored by Pat Leahy, Arlen Specter, and Chris Dodd. After the vote determined that the United States, and no wonder these rat bastards have an approval rating of what now, 12%? Chris Dodd said, quote, "Each of us in the Senate faced a decision either to cast a vote in favor of helping to restore America's reputation in the world, or to help dig deeper the hole of utter disrespect for the rule of law that the Bush administration has created. Unfortunately, too many of my colleagues chose the latter." The last time this came up, they didn't even break 50 votes during the last Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate. It's still Republican-controlled, apparently. At least they control enough seats to continue to do this. Now, in addition to refusing to restore the basic underlying fundamental principle of the right of an individual against the state, whether the state is a king, a democracy, a parliamentary form of government, whatever it is, other than a dictatorship. In a dictatorship, in a totalitarian state, there is no such right as habeas corpus. It doesn't exist. But in any attempt at lawful, just self-government, this has got to be the cornerstone. It must be. Otherwise, detention without charges, detention without bail, detention without legal representation, detention of indeterminate length of time before you're even brought to court, all of that is acceptable without habeas corpus. This is what Republicans are about. Do you have any doubt in your mind, Truth Seeker, that Republicans are fascists, are totalitarians? That's what they have evolved to. And who are they playing to? If 89% of the American public thinks these putzes should leave town and go away, who are they playing to? Who? The 11% of scum-sucking, evangelical, fake Christian, right-wing Ku Klux Klansers, is that who they're playing to? In the meantime, Bush said today, as he went to the National Security Agency to play spy boss, he says he wants this filthy Congress to expand and make permanent a law that gives the government more power to eavesdrop without warrants. Goodbye, Fourth Amendment. Goodbye forever. Bush said, unless Congress does that, quote, our national security professionals will lose critical tools they need to protect our country, end quote. Ain't that a bitch? For 230 years, for 230 years, you needed a warrant to do certain things. It's again, it goes back to English common law. And then we found out in the 70s, under another filthy, disgusting Republican, the prohibition of this type of activity without a warrant was being violated every day. So they passed a law, a FISA law, and said, okay, enough of this, you can't do it. Oh, yes, they can. They're Republicans. So these weak-kneed, candy-ass Democrats revamped the FISA law. When was it? 6 months ago? They gave Bush even more power. Only, remember what the Democrats said? Oh, well, we're just going to make it temporary. We're just going to give it, what was it, 6 months? And then what we'll do is rewrite this thing and really, you know, well, we'll go ahead and vote to confirm Alito. Well, we'll go ahead and vote to confirm Roberts. Well, we'll go ahead and do this and do that. But when the big one comes, you can count on us Democrats. The Democrats said in 6 months they would, was it 6 months? I guess so. I don't know. Maybe it was 12 months, 9 months. It really doesn't matter. I'm so sick of compromising Democrats, I could throw up blood. But anyway, Bush is ordering the Democrats to get back down on their knees. Come on, boys, it's time. Back down on your knees. And make permanent what these cowardly bastards made temporary a few months ago. Now, under the law that the Democrats gave this Nazi bastard in the White House, Bush and his thugs can eavesdrop without a court order on communications conducted by a person reasonably believed to be outside the U.S., even if an American is on one end of the conversation. Do you like that? Reasonably believed to be outside the U.S. Has this administration done anything you could consider reasonable? Can I see some hands? No? No hands? Good. Keep them down or I'll taser your ass. Okay, no hands up. All right. So, but this time, you see, this time, it's supposed to be if there's a reasonable belief that at least one of the people in the phone call is outside the United States. What does that mean? And B, who, unless you're a gibbering, slobbering Republican, really believes such a prohibition will be respected? Of course not. Neither do I. Bush timed his visit to Fort Meade to visit the spooks out there, the super spooks, to press his case to destroy the Fourth Amendment. They've destroyed the First Amendment. They've destroyed the Fifth Amendment. They want destruction on the Fourth, and they've destroyed habeas corpus. Jesus Christ. I mean, are we all this stupid? Are you Republicans this dumb? Don't even answer that. He also urged the Democrats. That means he's ordering the Democrats, enough of them, to expand the law, not restrict it. One provision that Bush particularly doesn't like because it affects his corporate buddies in the telecommunications industry, and that is that the telecommunications companies right now want retroactive immunity for what they did in violation of the law before the Democrats changed it so they could violate the law with impunity. You see, the telecommunications, the big telecommunications companies say, well, we need a little protection here, George. Come on. Come on, chuckle nuts. We gave you hundreds of millions of dollars. Now it's your time. You know, we scratch your crotch, you scratch ours. So get us retroactive immunity.
The Valley's Progressive Talk, online at www.1480kphx.com.
This is Richard Green, host of Clout. One of the things that we're doing on our show is encouraging people to support environmental triple bottom line companies and very cool environmental products. There is nothing, there is no product I have ever seen that is more cool.
is the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Yeah, Bush was joined at the podium in the hallway at the National Security Agency when he said, you know, Al Qaeda is not going to expire 135 days, so why should the gift the Democrats in Congress gave me expire in 135 days? Don't you love that, huh? Anyway, he was joined at the podium by Cheney. And, you know, that is the signal that what is being said is evil and disgusting and a lie. Remember, Cheney was with him when he testified to the 9/11 Commission. Whenever you see Cheney hovering in the background, like some kind of a shade, a disconnected, an unattached incubus, a golem that's standing off in the corner. Oh, God, the man just turns my stomach. Whenever you see Cheney around, you know whatever is coming out of Bush's mouth is it's extremely crucial and critical that he say the right thing, and that if he doesn't, Cheney is right there to pick up the broken pieces of whatever it is Bush is destroying. The Constitution, rights granted by the Bill of Rights, America's integrity, the honor of the Oval Office, international respect for international law, whatever it is Bush is standing there shattering and slicing and dicing. Cheney has to be around so that in case this dumb bastard says something that has to be instantly corrected, Cheney can do it. Have you ever noticed that? Huh? He's like Grendel, Cheney is. No, I like the incubus. Or is it succubus? Which one is it, Kathy? Is it the succubus that's inside and the incubus that attaches from the other? I don't know. Will somebody email me? Where's Reggie? Reggie will email me and tell me the difference between an incubus and a succubus. All right. So to wrap up this little take, my take on what happened today on not restoring habeas corpus, and voting to I didn't even get to this yet, but voting by the same vote, 56-44, it was all run together. To keep soldiers in a battle zone beyond human endurance. That's what the Republicans said today. There were four Democrats that cut and joined the, or four Republicans that cut and joined the Democrats. Joe Lieberman, a cowardly little son of a bitch snake, voted along with every single Republican except the four that bolted to order these troops who are being shredded. Their families are being shredded. The military is being shredded. These Republicans and Joe Lieberman said, no, you don't get equal amount of time home. Look, in Vietnam, our other grisly, grim, murderous adventure, you were there for a year, you went home. These rat bastards are saying to the so-called all-volunteer military force, no, you don't mean squat to us. Get over there and kill or die or get your arms blown off. And then maybe Bush will come by for a photo op and you know, pin a purple heart on your cheek. But that's what the Republicans said today. We've never been in the military. We don't know. Hagel's been there. He voted against this crap. We never been in the military. We don't care. Get your volunteer asses over there until we tell you you can come home and take leave. Now, to the military wives and mothers and parents and husbands and fathers and brothers and sisters, what say you, huh? The war, what percent of the American public is involved in this war? 1.5%? Who's doing the killing and dying, huh? What do you think? What do you think, military families? How about this? You've been supporting the war and supporting Bush because emotionally you've had no choice. It's your kinfolk, your relative, your husband, your baby's daddy who's over there. What are you going to do? Now what? Now they've turned around once again and stomped you in your face and stomped your child in his or her face. How does it feel? How does it feel now? Do you have any doubts what these scum really feel about your husband or your son or your daughter? Do you? You can't be that deluded. You cannot be that deluded. So how about this? This Congress's reputation is already in the sewer thanks to Republicans' 11% approval. So what do the Democrats have to lose by not bringing any further attempts to end the killing of U.S. troops and Iraqi civilians? Okay? Let it bleed. Let the Republican base that wants this murder to continue wallow in the blood. Wallow in the broken bodies. Let the suffering continue until these Republicans have revealed for them what they are. Scum. War-loving scum. And maybe then the voting public that's seen the death totals go higher and higher will then realize this has been a Republican murder spree and will turn these savages, these thugs out of office for good. Maybe the Democrats ought to say, that's it, we're not trying again. Let it bleed.
Everyone to smithereens.
Get your range on. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. All right, thanks everybody. Incubus apparently is the male sex demon who lays on top of sleeping women and has sex with them. And a succubus is a female sex demon that invades the sleeping male bodies or something. I didn't realize it was so closely tied to sex. Well, I'll be damned. I'm serious about that question. Why don't, and I realize the answer as I frame the question. Maybe Democrats have, still have a core of decency. They don't want to see death. They don't want to see in Iraq. They don't want to see our soldiers and Marines dying for ultimately nothing except the greed and furtherance of Hunt Oil Company or Bush Rat Pack partners. I have to believe that. I also have to believe that at their core, Republicans are devoid of humanity. They have no compassion. They mock compassion. They have no empathy or sympathy. They mock those too. Both those emotions get mocked. They are soulless. That's what I find so funny about Republicans who, they're clamoring up the cross. They just claw at the cross of Jesus, don't they? They just scrape it until they have splinters under their fingernails, hoping for redemption. Never fully realizing that they don't have a soul to save to begin with. But that's what, that's what they're, oh, please save me. Please, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. No, you don't. You don't believe in anything except blood and gore and broken bodies and death and destruction and lies and deceit. That's all they believe in. And it's stretching to say they believe in that. They don't believe in anything. But that's what they're familiar with. So why not then? Just turn it over to him. Just say to hell with it. I mean, why don't the Democrats who simply cannot put together, apparently, a filibuster-proof majority, 60 votes, in order to move on, to get something into a bill as an amendment, or get an amendment onto a vote, I'm not sure how the garbage works. I really am not. Don't write me and explain it to me, because I don't want to know. I know that they need 60 votes. That's always key. Otherwise, it could be filibustered to death. I guess that's the long and short of it right there, right? Somebody wrote me, why do the Democrats need 60 votes in order to introduce legislation? They don't. They don't. But in order to block a filibuster, the minority party can always filibuster, can always stand there and talk for days and make repeated calls for quorums and try to stage phony votes, or they can do their, like the Republicans did under Tom DeLay, extend 15 minutes of debate on a bill to 12 hours until they twist arms and bludgeon people, Republicans, into voting a certain way. Look, the system's broken. That's why 11% of Americans, the snake handlers, the religious nutballs, still believe that the Republican or the Congress of the United States is effective towards something. It is effective regarding nothing. We all know this now. We know this. These son of a bitches can't even restore. Think of that word. Restore habeas corpus. That's how bad it is. It's astonishing what Bush has done in 6 years. Unreal. Mind-boggling. Okay? So why not then? Why not the Democrats just go to work on things like roads and bridges? You know, let's see if we can find some money here to repair the bridges in Minnesota and the sewer pipes in Atlanta and New York and the dams out west. And, you know, let's see if we can, even that probably wouldn't work. Maybe just do nothing. Just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. Pretend, Democrats, like you're working. Just do anything until 08. And then you have 70 or 75 senators who are Democrat. Then get about the business of trying to restore this republic. I know. So many of you sitting back laughing your asses off right now saying, you really think the Democrats want to restore the republic? Well, I guess I do. But they're not going to do it with 51 votes when one of those votes is Joe Lieberman. It's never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. And they'll never be able to vote for cloture, which shuts off the possibility of a filibuster. Never, 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 never. So just sit back. And in the meantime, then, let the American, and this is horrifying, but it's pure utilitarianism. Let the families who are contributing the cannon fodder really come to terms that this is not about patriotism. This is not about defending America. This is not about love of country. This is not about flag waving. This is about bloody, gory, useless, pointless death. Your husband and son, the Iraqi people, children, stuff being blown to pieces, that's what it's about. It's about being a benefit for certain Republican buddies of George W. Bush. That's it. And if you want to go ahead and contribute the life of your husband, your son, your daughter, you dumb freak, are you really going to do that? But let the Democrats get out of the way. Sit down, Democrats. Shut up. Quit trying to introduce these amendments so that the Republicans can say, oh, look, they want to cut and run. Oh, look. They want Al-Qaeda in the streets of downtown Des Moines. Oh, look, they're pro-Al-Qaeda. Sit down, Democrats. Just sit down and shut up and let the slaughter continue. We've already been told 60 to 90 deaths over the next 9 or 10 months of American soldiers and Marines. Okay. Send out the notices now. To the 570 U.S. families who will be contributing a family member, hey, we're really sorry to hear of the death of your husband, your father, your son, your mother, your sister, your kid, whatever it is, we're really sorry, but you can thank a Republican. Thank a Republican for the death of your family member. God damn it, what is wrong with these Democrats? Sit down. Shut up. Let it bleed. Let the blood flow. Let the 11% of Americans, these self-righteous, snake-handling, right-wing freaks, have their buckets of blood. Let them claw at the cross. Let them shout, "Oh, we love America. What's the matter with you? Let me put another ribbon on the back of my SUV." Just stay out of the way. Let these Americans deal with it. And then when there is a supermajority in the House and the Senate of Democrats, then this madness can end. And you know, not a day before. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You have a loved one in the military? Count on that person either having a complete nervous breakdown because the Republicans today said, "Nah, keep the son of a bitch over there fighting. And when he comes home, send him right back." Or he's going to come back with no arms or no legs or half his brain shot away or his face so horribly disfigured it's going to turn your stomach even to try to kiss him. Go ahead! Or he's going to come home in a coffin. Go ahead! That's what you want? That's what you metallic ribbon slapping on the back of your SUV bastards want? Go ahead! Democrats, get out of the way. Let them have their blood. Let them eat their dead. Let it bleed. Let it happen. You have an alternative idea? Oh, I know. There's so many liberals and progressives and Democrats say, "Oh, no, Mike. No, don't do that. We have to keep fighting." No, we don't. We stand aside. There's no problem so big it can't be walked away from. You stand aside and let these bloodthirsty vampires have it. Have it all. Here you go. Take it. Take it. Drink it. Suck it up. Taste the salt. Go ahead. Drink it. Let them see. Let everyone see what the Republicans are, what they do, committing other people's sons and daughters and husbands and wives to death and destruction. Let it go. Let it bleed. Let it happen. Stay out of the way, Democrats. Stay out of the way. This is Nova AM. I'm Mike Malloy.
Peace in this world, the United States must maintain every advantage and weaponry.
Yeah. All the Democrats plus Bernie Sanders of Vermont voted for the Webb proposal, which would have guaranteed American soldiers equal time at home in relation to the time they spend doing Bush's dirty work in Iraq. And they were joined by six Republicans: Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, John Sununu of New Hampshire, Norm Coleman of Minnesota, Gordon Smith of Oregon, Susan Collins and Olympia Snow, both of Maine. Senator Warner, talk about flip-floppers. Jesus, God. He voted for the measure in July and then voted against it today. So did David Vitter of Louisiana. Isn't he the one that got caught with his thingy in his zipper? Wasn't he on the Madam's list? And nobody said a thing. The Republicans don't start screaming about him the way they screamed about, Larry Craig. Well, Vitter just being normal. He just having extramarital sex with a woman. That's all right. If you have extramarital sex with a man, well, Jesus is going to eat your liver. You didn't know that? And Sam Brownback of Kansas, another right-wing nut freak. What is it? Isn't Brownback, isn't he one of the cross scratchers? Isn't he one of those who clutch and crawl and scrape and try to dig their fingernails into the mud of Golgotha and the cross itself? Huh? And Lieberman. A guy who, like Cheney, had deferment after deferment after deferment to stay out of the Vietnam threshing machine until he finally ran out of deferments and immediately got his wife Hadassah pregnant, just like Cheney got his wife Snicklefritz pregnant. And that's how they stay. See, that's the part that is horrifying. You have combat veterans like Hagel, like Jim Webb, who say, no! And then you have pissant little cowards like Joe Lieberman saying, yes! At a news conference this morning, meant to try to get other Republicans to support the idea that soldiers in a combat zone deserve as much time off as they have time on, killing and dodging bullets with their names on them. Webb and Hagel, both Vietnam veterans, warned that the lengthy deployments of American troops in Iraq and insufficient time at home between those deployments were wearing down the military so badly it would take decades to rebuild. Decades. Do you think any of these Republican vermin, these cowardly sons of bitches who ran like cockroaches from serving their country when their time came, do you think it swayed any of their votes? No! Hagel said, we are destroying our force structure. Now, wait till 08. Wait till we get closer. And the Republicans start talking again, as they always do. Well, the Democrats have destroyed our military. We're Republicans. We believe in a strong military. Wait to hear Giuliani, whatever the hell his name is, and this pretty boy Mitt Romney and the rest of these jackasses start talking. Well, the Democrats want to tear down our military. Like cockroaches in a filthy kitchen at 3 a.m. when somebody flips the light on, and these Republicans and like Joe Lieberman run scurrying under the stove and behind the cupboard and underneath the wastebasket. Ew, light! Ew, let me go hide. Filthy, cowardly, sneaky, lying Republicans. Even when Hagel and Webb, the sainted Ronald Reagan's former Secretary of the Navy, Webb, and Chuck Hagel, Vietnam vet, they stand there and say, Hagel, the one who says he's had it, he's resigning, retiring, no more! And even that, do you think that little prissy Mitch McConnell would vote in favor of giving the troops as much time off as they have on? Do you think what's his name from South Carolina, who used to work in the Judge Advocate General's office? What's his name, Senator, the South Carolina Senator Kathy, Lindsey Graham, who is soon to be outed anyway? So who cares? He'll have to start clawing at the base of the crutch across like the rest of these scum, these Republican scum. Here's a guy who worked in the judge who worked as a military attorney. Do you think Lindsey Graham would vote to give soldiers as much time off as they have time? No, hell no. It's astonishing. The Republicans are saying to the United States military, screw you and screw your families and your children, all of them, screw them. We don't care. We don't care. Now pick up your weapon and get your ass back into combat. You want time off? You get your 5 months, 6 months, 8 months. Get back. Get back. Thank God I'm over 60 by Jesus or Moses or whoever it is I'm praying to today. I don't have to go serve, but you do, boy. You know what we would do if we didn't have that oil over there? And some of them, like Brownback, they want the death and the destruction to continue because that's the fulfillment of their Redeemer's promise. Stack the bodies, yea, though I speak to you through the prophets. Stack the bodies high enough, and I might come back. I might come back and rapture some of you up naked. That'll be fun. But stack the bodies high enough. And I say to Sam Brownback, I'm going to make you a senator, my son. And I want you to make sure the pile of dead bodies and corpses and butchered people and blood and gore is high enough to please me and my Father who art in heaven. That's how sick these Republicans are. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Email from Rich. He said, Mike, listening to the podcast of your Tuesday show regarding the student tasered at a Kerry appearance and the overreaction of the police there, I don't remember you discussing it, but I'm reminded of the incident last week during the General Petraeus hearings when Reverend Lennox Yearwood, who was waiting in line for tickets, was denied tickets, complained verbally, and was then knocked down and piled upon by 6 policemen. He was arrested and his ankle was injured. The video is on YouTube, and the incident can be clearly seen to be gross overreaction by the police and an obvious anxiousness to kick somebody's ass, whether it was deserved or not. There was no justification. Cindy Shane was present and has written about the incident at BuzzFlash.com. She was also arrested for challenging the police verbally and can be heard on the video. Her report expresses surprise about the docileness of the observers present. Yes, I've also been reminded of the behavior of the police toward the unsavory counterculturalists in the late 60s and into the 70s. I remember not wanting to use the term pigs despite their behavior, and I recall having a difficult time defending them. At least we don't have to worry much about having another Kent State incident. The National Guard is mostly in Iraq. I'd like to think that John Kerry, with the lights in his eyes, didn't see enough to react appropriately. Rich in New York. And then Alan sent me this. On Tuesday's Hardball, Joe Connison from New York Observer and Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink, had a lot to say about Monday's tasering of University of Florida student. And they went in depth about the state of free speech, or lack thereof, in America today. The discussion of free speech zones and political expression took an interesting turn when Medea Benjamin claimed to have been pulled out of a Hillary Clinton rally for wearing a T-shirt that read, "Troops, home, now." Here's the transcript, and you can... You can see this, I guess at Media Matters or Think Progress. Benjamin, I got pulled out of a Hillary Clinton rally for wearing this shirt. Matthews, no. Benjamin, yes. Matthews, pulled out of the rally. Benjamin, pulled out of the rally. Matthews, who were the pullers? Benjamin, she has goons. just like the Republicans have goons, and they drag you out of there, and they say no signs other than the signs that we hand to you. The Republicans and the Democrats do the same thing. Yeah. She has goons. They all have goons. All right, let's... Oh, by the way, tomorrow in Gina, Louisiana, there are demonstrations planned in support of the Gina 6, the last defendant who, even though he was sentenced to jail, his conviction, Michael Bell's conviction for conspiracy to commit second-degree battery, was overturned. It's been overturned now by two courts. The Third Circuit of Appeals in Lake Charles, Louisiana, extremely right-wing court, also overturned his conviction and said that he should have been tried as a juvenile. But they ruled yesterday that they would not consider a motion to free Bell from prison. The court ruled without setting a date for considering the motion. They said, quote, the motion for release from custody filed by the defendant in this court is premature, end quote. I guess you know about that case. If you don't, just go to your Google and type in Gina, Louisiana, J-E-N-A. But from what I've been hearing, there are massive demonstrations planned for this little town of, what, 6,000, if that, 3,000 in Louisiana, civil rights organizations. That means the Kluxers will be out, and the skinheads, and the American Nazis. They will all be there. So tomorrow could be a very, 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 very bad day in Gina, Louisiana. Could be a very bad day. The fight that developed as a result of the incident with the nooses hanging in the tree out in front of the school resulted in one of the white kids getting beaten. The people who instigated this, the whites, were given a 3-day school suspension. The blacks who responded to being attacked verbally with the N-word themselves were treated as adults and tried for felonies that could have resulted in lengthy prison sentences. And, you know, black folk are sitting back going, yeah, well, so what, Malloy? Tell us water's wet. Yeah, I know. I understand. I hear you. So tomorrow in Gina, Louisiana should be... could be one of those days where there's a peaceful demonstration in support of human rights and equal justice before the law. No justice, no peace. Or it could be something else. The black protesters are going to be there for in my opinion anyway, a righteous reason. The white counter-protesters will be there, in my opinion anyway, to, you know, defend the whites against these uppity Negras. And, of course, the white racists would be there because they're insane and want to have some sort of a confrontation. Preferably violent. I'm reminded, remember, when was it back in, was it in the 70s? In Winston-Salem, I think it was Winston, or Greensboro, North Carolina, where there was a demonstration put together by some black and white members of the Communist Party USA, and the Klansmen showed up and started shooting, and what, 3, 4, 5, 6 people were murdered. I know I've got those details all wrong, but it was pretty shocking. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. Let's take some calls, starting with Terry, who is calling in from St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
I wanted to talk about Harry Reid and Senator Leahy. They want to get some information about the U.S. attorneys, or I mean the justices, before they pass this next guy to take place of Alberto Gonzalez.
Uh-huh, right.
What do you think about that? I know.
they'll collapse. I think it's a good point. We are members of the Senate. We want the documents we've subpoenaed. We're not going to consider continuing your game until you provide us the documents that we are constitutionally allowed to ask for. So let's just call it a stalemate. Now, that's the way it should go. Now, some people will argue and say, no, my lawyer, wrong, because the guy that Bush has appointed as interim attorney general is would make Alberto Gonzalez look like a teddy bear. This guy is a real arrogant, snotty, neo-Nazi Bush crime family member. So who's got the upper hand here, the Republicans or once again, the Rovian element of the Bush administration? Hard to say. I just know that if I were a Democratic senator, I would bring the whole goddamn place to an absolute stop. I wouldn't do anything. I would do nothing until we got back to constitutional government. I would do nothing. So as far as Leahy and anyone else who's demanding documents in order to hold a committee hearing and vote on Mukasey, I say stick to your guns, boys. But you know that they won't. You know they won't stick to their guns. So that's my take on that. Terry, thanks. I appreciate your call. We'll be right back after the break.
Liberty must go. There's more to gain in war than peace. Let the weapons flow. Destabilize the Middle East. Enrich the CEO. Lie down, people. Lay down your bill of.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
It's about 21 past the hour. All right, before we go back to the phones, because a couple of you have emailed me this story. This is from Green Cove Springs, Florida, which is a suburb of Jacksonville. Several months back, this woman named Emily Delafield, she's 56 years old, schizophrenic and in a wheelchair. She called the police department to say there was a disturbance. She believed she was in danger. 56-year-old woman, wheelchair-bound and schizophrenic, diagnosed schizophrenic. Dispatcher, and what's the problem, Ms. Delafield? My sister is waiting on my property. Dispatcher, you're what? Delafield, my sister is on my property trying to harm me. Officers said they arrived to find the wheelchair woman, Emily, armed with two knives and a hammer. Police said the woman was swinging the weapons at family members and police. Now, keep in mind, she's in a wheelchair. Within an hour of her call to 911, Ms. Delafield, a wheelchair-bound woman documented to have mental illness, was dead. Family attorney so-and-so said her death could have been prevented and that there are four things that jump out at him about the case. One, she's in a wheelchair. Two, she's schizophrenic. Three, they're using a taser on a person who's in a wheelchair. And four, they tasered her 10 times. For a period of 2 minutes. According to a police report, one of the officers used her taser gun 9 times for a total of 160 seconds, and the other officer discharged his taser gun once for a total of no more than 5 seconds. Medical examiner found that the woman died from shock from the taser gun because she had hypertensive heart disease. On her death certificate, the medical examiner ruled her death a homicide. Family says has been waiting for this report, and now they plan to sue the Green Cove Springs Police Department. What kind of a mentality? I don't care if it's a cop or somebody from the dog pound. What kind of a mentality does not recognize an obviously insane woman with a hammer and a couple of knives? Now, she's in a wheelchair, so how in the name of God can she threaten her family members and the police unless they come within, 20 inches of her wheelchair? She cannot get out of the wheelchair. She's obviously insane. So some pig tasers her 9 times, and she dies. Now, this is what we were talking about last night, this attitude now. I think the police department, various police departments across the country, have dramatically lowered their standards the same way the United States military has dramatically lowered its standards. And the same way that corporate America has lowered its standards. Have you tried to call any sort of business and get something done on getting a product replaced or something repaired or your account straightened out or your explanation of benefits from your health insurance to make sense? Or have you tried? You know what I'm talking about. You called the phone company because there's another one of those unending $3.22 charges on your phone bill that they told you last month was a mistake and they take it off. I mean, just on and on and on. And that kind of inability to think, to be coherent or rational, to show the kind of behavior that says, look, I'm an educated person, I'm a decent person, I'm in a position of power. I can control your credit report, I can control whether or not you live or die, I represent your military, whatever it is, therefore I'm your member of the Senate, whatever it is, therefore I'm going to act responsibly. No, it doesn't happen anymore, does it? The rent-a-cops that fell on the student in University of Florida in Gainesville the other day, and by the way, it's a full court press now on that student. He's a jerk, a radical, a jokester, a clown. Set it up. Told somebody to hold his video camera. Used an obscenity against the police. On and on and on and on and on and on and on. You see, we knew this was going to happen. We talked about this, didn't we? How long is it going to take until a full court press against him by media and the cops? Two of the cops now who have been suspended have said, "Oh well, it's a setup. It's a setup." And yet they're using the same kind of lethal weapon on him that they use on other people. And this woman in the wheelchair who was murdered by the police was one of 200 I don't know what time frame that is. 200 people who, is that just in the last year? Couldn't be in the last year. What is it, 10 years, maybe 5 years? I don't know. 200 people. And I'm not saying that in every one of those instances some sort of restraint wasn't called for. But a taser, it's not a cork in a pop gun. This is not, you know, it's like the way the Israelis use rubber bullets on Palestinians. And that sounds like, oh, a rubber bullet. What does that do? Hit you and bounce off? And then you find out that inside the rubber is steel. And you find out that children in the occupied territories get their eyes shot out and their jaws blown off. Oh, it's just rubber bullets. Oh, it's just a taser. Well, you know, she shouldn't have been swinging the knives at her. She's in a wheelchair. If one of us would have gotten close enough, she might have stabbed us.
By what he told me, try to tell the truth and stand your ground. Don't let.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
right, we have, it's 156 people dead of taser-related violence in the last 5 years. So, gee, that's not bad. That's only 30 a year, right? All right, back to your phone calls. Lloyd is calling from Framingham, Mass., listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Lloyd.
How you doing?
Doing all right.
I love listening to you. You're the best on radio on Left Wing Talk.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, you're really terrific, and that's why I listen. I'm calling because I'm 51. I've been calling since the beginning of the war. I've been calling congressmen and senators because I am 51. I remember Vietnam. The last draft year was my year, 73.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience of simply living during that time has shaped my entire life, and that's why I'm still involved and care very much.
Mm-hmm.
I called Duncan Hunter's office last week when I took off. I'm a commercial loan officer. I help manage a portfolio of over $3 billion for one of the largest banks in the country,
mm-hmm.
and so that's what I do. I called Duncan Hunter's office. I wanted to find out from him what he thought our mission was in Iraq. And I called his office because he is the ranking Republican member of the Armed Services Committee,
right.
Republican member.
Yes.
I wanted to get from his office, okay, what he thought our mission was, why we're sending guys there to die. And I was able to get his not only staff member, but the military staff member. And the military staff member who said he was a Vietnam vet, 57 years old, he told me that Duncan Hunter does not have anything written that he could tell me what the mission was.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe that. I really couldn't, because I said, well, wait a minute. He's sending guys to die. He's voting for money, billions of dollars, and guys are dying, women are dying, Iraqis are dying, the same as when we were young. Guys are dying in Asia again, and you're telling me this guy doesn't have a mission statement?
Hmm.
Nothing that you could even read off a prompter? I mean, anything, a why, anything. Nothing. We spoke for half an hour, and he said he'd call me back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly, he calls me back the next day. He still goes, there really truly is nothing written. There's no mission, there's no policy in that office of the Armed Services Committee, the ranking member who sends guys to die into that meat grinder. No written policy, nothing.
No, what's shocking about your story, Lloyd, is the fact that you actually got someone who was willing to talk with you and even call you back and talk for that length of time. That's astounding.
It is astounding. I'm a pretty informed guy, and I've been doing this for a long time. And I've been able to get through to a couple of people. One is Democrat Congressman Spratt from South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
who I was able to speak with personally. He actually picked up the phone two or three times. He's the only other member I was able to speak with personally. I mean, I did, when I was in college, I did intern for a congressman. So I'm a political science is my background.
So you know how to do it. You know how the right things to say and not to say.
Well, to let everybody know, from California to Maine to Hawaii to Mars, all you have to do is call and be heard. Really. You don't have to. It's not magic. It's being a citizen. It's being everything that you. I listen to you, and I love listening to you. You know what? It's pick up that phone and be heard. And don't let them, you know, get you unfocused. You just stay with it and stay with the attitude that, hey, listen, my taxes are paying for you. I'm not here for, you know, I'm not a citizen, a serf in England 1823 or 1525. I'm an American citizen, and I'm equal to you, and that's the way it works here.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a number of people who pick up the phone and answer, and they're very used to berating, and I'm sure you're used to this too.
Sure.
Berating anybody who questions them, and they hang up very quickly. A number of them say, well, I served in Iraq, and I'm military, and I'm, you know, and I say to them, listen, I don't know what other people say to you. Maybe they cower to you, but I outrank you. I'm an American citizen. And in my constitution, the military is subservient to civilians.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my father served, my uncle served, everybody in my family has served. You know, I go back six generations. My family goes back six generations. You know what? You don't impress me by being simply military. Sorry.
Mm-hmm,
as
right.
a matter of fact, you should be impressed by me. I'm an American citizen. And here, under this Constitution, you have to listen to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, those are good points. And I like the idea of not being unduly impressed just because somebody is in a military uniform. You know, to insist that all people who join the military are heroes is not only is it hyperbole and stupid nonsense to say it, because so few people who are actually in uniform actually go into a situation where they're under fire. So to make a blanket statement like this, well, our heroes over in Iraq, that's insane to make a statement like that. But that's what the right wing has done. Any criticism, no, not even criticism, even any questioning of the policies of this deranged bastard in the White House is considered an insult to the troops. I read something today that one of these right-wing senators is now saying that even the introduction of this amendment by Jim Webb, the so-called Webb Amendment that was defeated today to allow these soldiers equal time off as time on, was somehow an insult to the troops. Now, that statement was made, obviously, by a chicken hawk, by a coward.
I could probably guess which one.
I've got it here somewhere in the stack. I don't have it in front of me. But
my guess would be either Jim Bunning or McConnell, either one of those Kentucky idiots. But yeah. I want to do make one point to what you just said. You know, my father served. He served in Italy, and he was 17 or 18 when he went in. You know, he begged to go in. There was something wrong with one of his eyes. And but somehow he got in, and he served at the Battle of Monte Cassino, where the troops had to go up a side of a mountain, and an enormous amount of them had their heads blown off. And most of them, of course, were 17, 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
My father came back to him. Now, this guy, look, we're from New York. The guy was hard as nails. My entire life, we had two fireplaces in our house. Growing up in Bergen County. And let me tell you something. We didn't light a match because he was scared to death of simply a flame from a match.
Wow.
And he was hard as nails, this guy. He was built like Vince Lombardi. You know, the whole thing. You know, he was, you know, U.S. Army, you know, 1940s, you know. But when it came to war, during Vietnam, I remember, he couldn't believe the insanity of, and we're all Democrats. He hated Johnson for what he did, and he hated Nixon for what he did. It has nothing to do with party. It has to do with country. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Democrat my whole life. I was born one. I'll die one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a New Yorker who lives in Massachusetts. Kerry is my senator, and I'm outraged by him. And military men who say, you know, who use that line, you know, I'm military, and, you know, people should melt in front of me. I find that treasonous, and you bet I will spit on your shoes for that. You, by sending men and sending boys to have their heads blown off for a policy of lies is treasonous.
It is. It's insane. And there's no bravery. There's no honor in doing that. And we spent an enormous amount of moral capital when we set up, and rightly so, when we set up the Nuremberg war trials. You know, there were a lot of people, up to and including Roosevelt, who just wanted to take these Nazis out behind the wall and put a bullet in the back of their heads.
Right.
But there were other forces that prevailed that said, no, if we are a nation of laws, then we have to put them on trial. And as a result of those trials, of course, everyone got to fully understand the crimes that were committed, but also the moral authority of the United States and its allies, the French, the Brits, Russians. And they don't want to do that anymore, Lloyd. It's a whole different thing. Listen, I got to leave you there, pal. Thank you. I enjoyed what
you
had to say. All right. Thank you. Thanks for checking in.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
10 before the hour. Lauren writes in, "Hi, Mike. Almost every news report on that university kid has referred to him as a prankster. I'm guessing this is a buzzword right from the White House spin docs, as prankster is not a word you would hear often in modern times." Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Merry Pranksters, Ken Kesey, back in the early 60s when they were turning as many people as they could onto acid, right? Anyway, Lauren writes, I'm guessing this is a buzzword from the... No one used that in modern times. When I first heard the story, I was all excited and thought it might be the tipping point that would set off huge demonstrations against government suppression and cruelty. Within a few hours, it was spun into this amusing story of a kid who has done a few amusing things in the past. Even Stephanie Miller and her mooks called him an attention-grabbing prankster this morning. This kid, no matter what else he has done in his life, should be a hero by now. Instead, he's called names and is screaming at being hit by the taser, mocked. If he had died, no doubt it would be spun somehow that it was his own fault. Yeah, like the lady in the wheelchair who was wildly waving a hammer and a couple of kitchen knives, and therefore had to be executed on the spot. Back to your phone calls. Gene is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Internet. Hey, Gene.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Fine. I was just thinking how right you are about these two parties and our two-party system, how alike they're getting. And my thought was that we should just start some new party called the Restoration Party to restore democracy. Restore all the things we've lost, and that the Democrats don't seem to be interested in restoring. And
or they may be interested, but they are so cowed by George W. Bush or something. You know, like I said earlier, it's hard for me to know anymore. The Democratic Party, I see these people who claim to be Democrats, but they're not acting like Democrats. They're not resisting like Democrats, and they're not displaying the kind of centeredness or soul that you would think Democrats would have.
This current issue, the October issue of Mother Jones, it has an article titled "Hillary's Secret Prayer Pals," and I'm beginning to think there's no difference between the parties, even in terms of the desire for the demise of separation of church and state.
Oh, I know. That kind of shocked me. I had no idea that Hillary Clinton was a dominionist or a fundamentalist to the extent that she's a member of this prayer group that's been going on for quite some time. One of the people who's addressed that prayer group was Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the guy who claims to be the most recent incarnation of Christ, of Jesus Christ. And the people involved in that, people like Sam Brownback, people like...
Rick Santorum.
And they're all, and they're all great buddy buddies with Hillary Clinton, and I'm it's getting more and more difficult for me to be shocked But when I found that out, I don't think I found, I subscribed to Mother Jones. I don't know if I've gotten my current issue or not. But when I found that out, that she was a member of that evangelical prayer group that gets together in somebody's townhouse on a regular basis, I don't know what the hell they do.
They consider spiritual war. But when I read that, I wanted to know just who are their enemies. Anybody who opposes them in any way?
Usually a fundamentalist sets the attitude, no matter what religion he or she subscribes to as a fundamentalist. Everyone else is the enemy, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fellowship, it's called.
Yeah.
It claims that it wants to make liberals and conservatives transcend left and right positions.
Yeah, that's
via
why.
Faith.
That's why Rick Santorum and Sam Brownback were so open to liberals over the past 5 years, right?
Mm. Yeah. But what happens, as the article concludes, is that the faith that is always dominant is the evangelical mm-hmm. faith, which, you know, this is, like you say, it's so radical fundamentals, and the politics that the participants always move to are right-wing politics.
That's right. I've been told, by the way, that I shouldn't refer to these folks as evangelicals, that there are members of the evangelical movement who are, in fact, good-hearted people, but they should be referred to, I've been told, as dominionists.
Ah.
They're the ones who believe in literal interpretation of the Bible, and that anybody who is not a believer in Christianity, hence the term, you know, dominion, to have dominion over everybody, should in fact be put to the sword. Just at some point, cast out, I think is the euphemism that's used. So these are very dangerous people, and when I found out that Hillary Clinton was associating with them on a very, very close, intimate, personal basis, now she can't be doing it, I don't think, from a political a point of view, because I don't think that when that becomes common knowledge that Hillary, whatever Hillary may pick up in terms of dominionist voters, and I don't think it'd be many, she would lose many, many more liberals or progressives who look at that stuff as warmongering nonsense. So that leads me to believe that if it's not a political move on her part, that she actually, by God, believes it. And
well,
if that's the case,
and it's influencing her voting, in the
right. Country. And if that's the case, then Hillary Clinton is, to a degree, more dangerous than George Bush, because she's 100 times smarter and presents herself as a Democrat. Bush doesn't present himself as anything other than what he is, a wannabe, would-be dictator. He said it how many times? So it's food for thought. I'm glad you brought it up. I'll have to check it out, Gene. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, and earlier tonight we found out Hillary Clinton, according to Medea Benjamin, and who are you going to believe, Medea Benjamin or a politician, whether it's Hillary Clinton or George Bush? I'll go with Medea. But we find out that Hillary Clinton has her own goon squad. You come in with the wrong sign, you might get tasered. Oh, hello. 7 past the hour. Welcome back. I was just reading this email from John in Northern California that I should share with you. John writes, remember during the Roberts and Alito hearings when the Democrats said they were, quote, saving the filibuster for more important things? As though they had only one shot at it, and delay threatened to use the nuclear option. Correct me if I'm wrong. I always thought that a filibuster was when the minority stands up at the podium and reads a recipe book for 72 hours until the other side gives up. I keep hearing that the Republicans have filibustered 200 bills. I haven't seen any of that on the Democratic side. I just keep hearing that the Democrats don't have 60 votes, so they call it I'm not sure what he means here. If they want to filibuster, let them stand up at the podium and hold up a vote on ending this war for hours or days or weeks. Put it on C-SPAN. Let the American people watch them filibuster. That would be embarrassing to those Republicans who are up for re-election. Some of them would have to switch over and vote for cloture. It sounds simple to me. But when the Democrats say they can't do anything because they don't have 60 votes, I wonder why they don't just go home. Yeah, I hear you, John. Oh, welcome back to the program. It's about 8:30 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio. My name is Mike Malloy. We were talking right before the break about Hillary's involvement in this Dominionist, insane Christian Taliban that is rampant in D.C. You know, I for the life of me, I can't understand that. I can't understand you are involved in the critical business of running a massive country with 300 million citizens that has more power, yes, economic, destructive, positive, than any nation in the history of the human race, and yet you get together with people to talk with invisible beings who float around on clouds and believe that a talking snake convinced a woman to bring all the anguish and angst onto Earth. You know, it's insane to me. Just insane to me. Maybe that's because, you know, I have no truck whatsoever with religion of any sort. But, you know, why not get together if they want to do something that might have a lasting effect and have someone teach them transcendental meditation so that, you know, maybe twice a day, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, all these senators will sit on their little zafus and chant until their heads clear. And they realize what the hell it is that they're supposed to be there for. They're not there to make nice with some invisible cloud being and ask for some sort of guidance. They're there to use the brains that 100 million years of evolution gave some of them, even though most of them don't believe in evolution. It's astonishing to me. If they want clarity of mind, if they want to clear their minds, if they want mindfulness, they're going to sit there and have an imaginary conversation with their id? Is that what they're doing? And then tell themselves, well, I was in prayer, and this is what God told me to do. That's called schizophrenia. That's madness. This is what George Bush says is the reason he went sent American troops into two different nations and is considering a third one, because the cloud being told him to do it. Go kill more, George. All right, yes, sir. Yes, sir. How many more? Make the pile high. That's insanity. And Hillary Clinton's involved in that. And Hillary Clinton, according to Medea Benjamin, has her goon squad. John Nichols, writing for The Nation, said, "Would someone please ask Hillary Clinton to stop coming up with health care reform plans that are less attractive than the dysfunctional system she proposes to replace?" Nichols writes, "The former First Lady who snatched defeat from the jaws of victory in the 90s by responding to the demand for a sane and humane system to deliver affordable medical care to all Americans with a plan to drown the ailing in a bureaucracy designed to augment the profits of the nation's largest insurance companies. Well, she's back with an equally heavy-handed and unappealing so-called reform proposal. The senator from New York, who has emerged as the front-runner for the Democratic presidential nomination, wants to solve the crisis of the uninsured and the underinsured by requiring every American to obtain coverage." Now think about that sentence for a second. Of course, the ridiculous Mitt Romney decries the Clinton campaign proposal as European-style socialized medicine. But Romney knows so little about health care that he cannot even pick a smart site for a press conference on the issue. He derided the Clinton plan in front of St. Vincent's Hospital in Manhattan, home of the Rudy Giuliani Trauma Center. That's named for his chief rival in the Republican nomination race. Oh, well. The reality is that the Clinton plan is about as socialistic as a Ronald Reagan corporate tax cut. The Clinton plan maintains the current system of for-profit, insurance industry-defined health care delivery. The only real change is that in return for minimal requirements regarding coverage of those with pre-existing conditions, the government would pump hundreds of billions in federal tax dollars into the accounts of some of the country's wealthiest corporations. The plan's tax credit scheme would buy some more coverage for low-income families, which is good, but it would do so at a cost so immense that ultimately Clinton's plan will be as tough a sell as the failed 1993 so-called Hillary Care proposal. America is ready for health care reform, but it's not ready for more bureaucracy, more expense, and more revenue for insurance companies. Despite what Mitt Romney says, Clinton and the Democrats would have a far easier time selling European-style socialized medicine than what the senator from New York is peddling. And that doesn't even take into account the potential appeal of a uniquely American single-payer system that might intelligently combine the necessary efficiency of a publicly funded and defined payment program for covering costs with the appealing prospect of allowing Americans to choose their own basic plans and doctors. Clinton could have proposed such a system. Indeed, she could have modeled it on the plan she and other members of Congress now enjoy. Instead, she chose to propose a scheme defined not by the needs or desires of the American people, but by the demands of existing insurance firms and a dysfunctional for-profit healthcare industry. If the senator is nominated and elected, and if she advances the initiative she unveiled Monday, there will be no healthcare reform, and America's uninsured and underinsured millions will be doomed to suffer for another decade or so because Hillary Clinton was incapable of extracting herself from the grip of the corporations that have made it so hard for the Americans to get the care they need. John Nichols, writing at the, this is at commondreams.org, but it was in the September 18th edition of The Nation. Yeah, the thing I'm afraid of is that people are going to be scammed, really scammed. We are, all of us, so desperate for affordable, good health care in this country. Just so desperate. That we are willing to swallow, almost hook, line, and sinker, this new plan by Hillary Clinton, which, as Nichols points out, saying, okay, here's your solution to the health care crisis. Everybody has to have insurance. So you've got a captive audience, or I should say a captive market. The only incentive for price differentials is what you see now in the auto insurance industry. Most states have mandatory car insurance. A lot of people drive without it until they're caught. But when you go to buy insurance, car insurance, they take a look at your pre-existing conditions too, don't they? Ever had a speeding ticket in the past 5 years? Ever had how many parking tickets have you had? Have you been involved in any domestic squabbles? Have you ever gone bankrupt? How do you pay your credit card bills? All of that stuff is factored in, and then the auto insurance companies can pick and choose. And if you're not picked, then you have to go into the assigned risk category, which means your premium will be 10, 15, 20 times higher than a little old man who's never been involved in an accident his entire life. Hillary Clinton... do you understand? Hillary Clinton is a fraud. Yes, baby, she's got it. I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. You're fire.
faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. Welcome back. Yeah, I have got to believe that, and I do believe that, as much as I don't want to believe that Hillary Clinton is in fact a fraud. I don't know why I don't want to believe that. Just by circumstance, through the owners of the, or the founders of Air America and the owners of this network, the Drobnys. Kathy and I had a couple of chances to sit in on conversations with Hillary Clinton when, you know, there weren't a whole lot of people around, and it wasn't a public event. It was just, you know, like coffee. And again, that's only by virtue of the fact that the Shelley and Anita Drobny know her and know, well, know both Bill and Hillary, and also know the Gore family fairly well. And in those two instances where... And trust me, Kathy and I just kind of sat there and absorbed. You know, we're Americans, and in America, everything is celebrityness. And even when you're sitting near someone like Hillary Clinton, you're still affected. And maybe just me. Maybe you wouldn't be. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm still, you know, at that point where when I'm around a huge media figure like Hillary Clinton, I just kind of sit there and go, okay, well, don't anyone talk to me, because if I have to talk, my teeth will stick together or something. So it's not like we had a conversation, but we sat and listened to the grown-ups who were having the conversation. And I came away from that with and so did Kathy, and this was maybe, what, Kathy, 4 or 5 years ago. I came away from those two instances of sitting in on conversations that include Hillary Clinton with a completely changed attitude about my own sense of her. You know, and I'm only saying that this is just for me. This is just for me. I don't care. If you're a Hillary supporter, go ahead, support her. My good friend Bart Kopp, who is one of the few geniuses left in America, is, I believe, still a supporter of Hillary Clinton's. And Bart and I just have to work around that, you know. But I just, my sense of her was dramatically altered, and I came away with a clear sense that Hillary Clinton would not be good for America as a president. Now, a lot of people thought that about Harry Truman, and he turned out to be, I guess, pretty good, although he did unleash nuclear hell on innocent civilians. But Truman is one of those, you know, he had a popularity rating of, what, in the 30s during the height of the Korean War, and somehow pulled out of it, and yada, yada, yada. I don't know anymore. I really don't. I know nothing. If you come to, I've said this, I used to say this, don't say it anymore. If you come to this program to learn something, don't. You know, you're wasting your time. We don't know anything here. This is just conversation. So I don't know that Truman was such a good president. I know sometimes he's held up as the type of guy, you know, a haberdasher from Kansas, or was it Missouri? Oh, God, here we go again. Kansas City, either Missouri or Kansas. And it was a nobody. He was picked for the same reason that so many vice presidents are picked. Candidates are picked. He's a nobody. And then, because of Roosevelt's death, he wound up as president. So the argument is being made, and a lot of people make it to me, that, you know, you're being very harsh and very unfair and very cruel on Hillary. You're sucking up all the stuff that the right wing has pumped into your head, Malloy, that Hillary is not a good candidate, would not be blah, 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 blah. And I have to respond to that by saying, no, I'm not that gullible. I really am not. That right-wing media is going to convince me of anything. If right-wing media tried to tell me, if Fox News right now tried to tell me it's dark outside, I would know that it's actually high noon. Because they are lying sons of bitches, they lie about everything. So no, I'm not influenced, I don't think. No, scratch that. I know I'm not influenced by what the right wing has said about Hillary Clinton. I have watched her votes. I have listened to as many of her talks to groups like, oh, I don't know, pick one, AIPAC? Huh? I've listened to what she presents as her position on certain key issues. I've listened to her say over and over again that a precipitous, whatever that means, withdrawal from Iraq is not in the best interest of the United States. This from a Democrat? Hillary Clinton is not a stupid woman. Oh, my God. She's a brilliant woman. Or person. Forget the woman. She's a brilliant person. But for her to make a statement like that, knowing full well that the invasion of and occupation of Iraq was based on total illegalities, lies, and deceptions. Now, you know, the so-called Pottery Barn rule, you broke it, you own it, is bat squeeze. That's nonsense. That's asininity to me. The best answer to the atrocity that the Bush crime family led this country into in Iraq and the Clintons before him would be to get the hell out as quickly as we can. Eventually, there is going to be a massive civil war in Iraq. It's going on now. It's only been held in check because of three wars initiated by Saddam Hussein and his secret police and his torture chambers. And now we're doing the same thing. So Hillary Clinton's positions, to me, defines her as a right-winger, not as a liberal, not as a progressive, and damn sure not as a Democrat.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's go to your phone calls. Rob is calling from Minnesota, listening on Sirius. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guess what? You know, I mean, just like usual, I listen to you long enough, I want to be able to change the subject, but the whole thing is where I completely agree with you. It's one of those things where Hillary... just step out of the way. You know, the whole thing is we've had 20 years of Bush and Clinton, and I have nothing against Bill Clinton, but at the same time, guess what? You know, I mean, don't you think there should be somebody new to be able to take and run
Well,
America?
You know, we're coming up on 30 years with a Bush or a Clinton, either in the White the presidency or the vice presidency. You got to consider that the 8 years of Reagan, you know, the people who have screwed everything up now were working in the Reagan office. Or the Reagan presidency, and Pappy Bush was his vice president. So we've had almost 30 years of this crap, Rob. You're right. I agree with you. We should have, surely to God, there's somebody whose name is not Bush or Clinton who could run for president.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'd like to be able to go back a little bit. It's where,
sure, go ahead.
In your first hour, it's not your dominant subject. You probably spent about 30 seconds on it. Didn't you mention something about money for bridges and roads? That we should be able to give some money for that area?
Yeah, but my suggestion was the Democrats ought to just walk away from trying to save the lives of American soldiers and say to hell with it and just let the blood flow and go to work on legislation to try to improve the country's infrastructure. Maybe we could get Republicans to go along with that because it can be defined as pork for their home districts.
And at the same time, if you will give me a couple minutes, I've got a lot of details on this, would you?
Well, details usually put most of us to sleep. I'll give you a shot. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, it's where there's a bill that has been passed by the Senate, and it was last week Wednesday, Bill H.R. 3074, and it's being reconciled between the Senate and the House version right now. And it was where the Senate passed it last week 74-24, and the House passed it in May 411-3. And this basic bill is for the, you know, you might call it the Highway Reauthorization Bill or the Department of Transportation Bill. And Peter DeFazio of Oregon in the House and Byron Dorgan of North Dakota included an amendment in that bill. Now, this amendment is number one reason why Bush will veto this bill.
What's the amendment?
Let's put it this way. It's where... The second reason is because too much money is being spent on our roads and bridges. The first reason is because it will stop the Mexican pilot program, driver program.
Well, why?
Basically, it's where, guess what? It's where Bush wants to be able to take and protect his corporate interest. And the whole thing is it comes down to where, you know, it's going to come down to where after Bush vetoes the House bill or the House and Senate bills is going to be sent to, going to be sent to him. It's where it's going to go back to the Senate. And I'd like to be able to take and tell people to contact their senators to be able to take and have them override this bill.
All right. What's the bill number again, Rob?
H.R. 3074.
All right. Let's. You got the word out. Let's see if people want to respond to that. And thanks, Rob. I appreciate the information. A domestic spending bill for, you know, Republicans like to tell their brain dead constituents that they're the party of fiscal responsibility. Yeah, okay. Sure they are. Take a look at what happened. Look at what Clinton gave Bush, and look at what Bush is giving the next three generations of Americans. No, they are not the party of fiscal responsibility. They are the party of whores, thugs, warmongers, no offense to sex workers, warmongers, killers, liars, cheats, and sneaks, not to mention cowards. But they like to have that money coming back to the home state if they're a senator, or the home district if they're a representative. So if the Democrats, and I include Democrats in this too, Democrats love to see the money come home. There are arguments over, I know with the Georgia delegation, as to who brings the most money, the most pork home to Georgia. As far as that's concerned, I say bring it all home, because if the money comes home and there's a constitutional amendment that the budget has to be balanced and there'll be no war left over for, no money left over for war, right? Oh, gee, dream on, Malloy. Anyway. Domestic spending bill for roads, the entire infrastructure, schools, roads, bridges, dams, roadways, all the things that are falling apart, city sewage systems. Here in Atlanta, we need something like $2 billion, and I believe it's already started. I don't know where the hell the money's coming from, but I read something that if all the infrastructure in the United States were attended to, and this so-called deferred maintenance that's going on for about 30 or 40 years were attended to, that the price tag would be, sit down, close to $1 trillion. Now, that seems a lot until you stop and consider that the annual murder budget, the offense budget, the war budget in this country every year is now approaching $750 billion. We spend, I don't know, pick a number. This is, I'm sure, hyperbolic on my part, but don't we spend something like 10 times the next 10 nations combined where it concerns weaponry? That's because of the very thing that Eisenhower warned us against, the military-industrial complex, which has become a monster, an absolute Frankenstein monster. So the Democrats saying to hell with any more efforts on the war and the war funding, just like I said, let it bleed, and then go ahead and focus their attention on so-called pork projects. Only, you know, not a new gymnasium for left-handed Irish people in, you know, Poughkeepsie, New York. No. If the left-handed Irish want a new gymnasium, let them have a bake sale or cookie sales and raise the money and build it themselves. But focus the money on the decaying, falling apart, damn near useless infrastructure in this country until there's another massive, you know, I know another thing we could work on, dikes, as in Lake Pontchartrain. As in holding back the water that may flood the next New Orleans. Well, Mike, those dumb bastards shouldn't have built in New Orleans because it's in a hole. Yeah, okay, bite me. You know, I get so tired of hearing people say that. Then you know, Holland should disappear. You know, let the Dutch decide to all move and become Frenchmen. You know, oh, God, I get sick of that. That kind of a answer. Let's go back to your calls. I'm getting way out of hand here. Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program. Oh, and by the way, I got an avalanche of emails. It was Voltaire.
Yes, sir.
Who made the statement?
You know that's a nom de plume?
What was his real name? Allie Schwartz or something?
No, Marie is in the middle of it somewhere. I wrote it down because the next day I called the library because I wasn't sure, and I found out it was Voltaire.
Okay,
and
let Let me stop you a minute. To all you people right now who are sending us Voltaire's real name, stop.
Yeah, don't. Whatever it is, his middle, O'Rourke or something, A-E-R-O-U-T or some damn thing, but his middle name is Marie, and outside of that, don't ask.
Okay.
Why did I call?
I have no idea.
In the middle of all this, you were talking about insurance, and I got to tell you, back in, I don't know, it was 04, 05, somewhere in there, do you know the cars, most models already have what is called a black box, you know, like they have an airplane?
Yes. Yeah, I've heard that. Is that true? Okay.
Yeah, and you know what that's going to do to insurance rates, don't you? If you're in an accident, you step on the gas instead of the brake, they're going to be able to tell. If you don't have your belts on, they're going to know that. If your brakes aren't in good shape, they're going to know that. And so that if you're going to be, oh, I don't know, pick a number, 20% responsible for the accident, your insurance company is not going to pay 20% less than what you thought you had coming.
Amazing how that works, huh?
You know, I finally come up with a new term. Well, I don't know. It's new to me anyway. Corporate mafia.
Corporate mafia.
You like that?
That kind of denigrates the mafia, but
well,
yeah.
Well, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Well.
But I understand what you're saying.
You know, those folks decided they were going to go into legitimate business.
Yeah.
Well, hot ziggity damn. Let's see. Why did I call? Oh, you know the place you used to work in Chicago?
WLS?
Yeah, that place.
That place.
You know what they had for their lead story on the 4 o'clock TV news?
The bail.
Today.
The bail for O.J. Simpson.
Well, a little bit better than that.
What?
They showed him from a helicopter driving with his lawyer away from the damn jail.
We've seen that.
Well, that was, what, 10 years ago, and that was in a Bronco or something.
Was it in
crap
a Bronco?
No, this was in a gray sedan, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I looked at that, and I thought, where the hell did they get their journalism degree? And, you know, at a discount box store someplace, Walmart's basement?
That's close.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I had to, because I was in a very masochistic mood today, I had to watch a little bit of CNN's coverage of the bail hearing. And then, wonder of wonders, it may have been MSNBC, but wonder of wonders, guess who they start asking questions? The reporter on the scene is the woman who was the prosecutor. What was her name?
Not Hayden. No, that was the guy. From California?
Yeah, yeah. Marcia.
Clark.
Marcia Clark. Only now, all of a sudden, Marcia Clark doesn't have curly, kinky hair. And it's,
I was just going to say they went with the curly hair.
Hey, hold on a second. It's not kinky and curly, and it's no longer dark brown.
You can't believe everything you see. So, baby, close your eyes to the lullaby.
Ten before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Kristen Minnesota, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer, the usual gang of miscreants and thugs who put this program together every night. It's not my fault. All right, back to your phone calls. We were talking with Marge in Indiana. Did you figure out during the break why you called?
Well, I think it was the O.J. thing, and you've heard of the good Nebraska State Senator Ernie Chambers.
I think so, but say it again.
He's the guy that filed an injunction against God.
Oh, that's right. He's suing God.
And for you, your trip is still coming up, isn't it?
Which one?
The cruise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's October 6th, I believe. And we're not sure what to expect, but we're looking forward to it.
Well, darling, do something for me just to be on the safe side. Before you go, find some travel shop. And buy yourself a good money belt that you can put your traveler's checks and your passport in while you're walking around.
All right. That's an idea. We're also thinking.
Oh God, we need traveler's checks and passports. I better hurry up.
Hi, Kathy, how are you?
We're also thinking about buying a leash for Molly.
Oh, well, put bells on her shoes or something.
We're going to unleash a very exuberant, 3-year-old on these unsuspecting people who are making this trip. You know, it's not just Nova M listeners or Malloy Show nutcases. It's a regular cruise. We just have a little piece of it. There's going to be, Kathy, over 1,000 people on that cruise, I would imagine. And I'm sure Molly... you know, Molly looks very cute in her pictures and everything, and she's a wonderful kid. I love her more than life itself, but she is energetic.
Oh, well, 3 years old, why not?
Oh, no. I mean energetic. yes, Kathy?
Well, I was just going to give you a quick anecdote. I mean, Molly asked me to stop for ice cream the other day, and I tried to get her the no-sugar variety for obvious reasons, and she was especially active that day, so the clerk asked me what flavor I wanted, and I asked him if he had Benadryl flavored ice cream.
Was that for you or for her?
No, I get the Valium flavored, which is, you know, when she chopped off half her hair last Friday,
all right.
She kept saying, Mommy needs a tissue. I said, no, Mommy needs a Valium.
Now, before we start
so much fun at that. Listen, I can't wait for you to take your trip and come back and regale us with all the joy.
On-board nonsense. All right, I'll do it. And behave yourself, Marge, all right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm getting too old to do otherwise, my dear.
Not you. We'll talk again.
Don't tell anybody.
I won't. All right, bye-bye. Now, before I get just a whole dumpster load of emails here, Kathy, please clarify. We do not give the kid Benadryl, and you don't take Valium.
Okay.
We give Molly Jack Black, and you do the Benadryl. No, we
don't. That'd be closer to the truth, actually.
No, actually, Molly is laying right over there next to you. She came down, as she does certain nights when she wakes up and realizes that we're in the studio in the extreme lower part of the house in the bunker area where I have all the weapons. And so Molly comes down. And gets up there on the futon. She's up there on the futon. And went back to sleep? Okay.
I guess she's asleep. I haven't poked her.
When we say energetic, I've had 3-year-olds before. I've had a bunch of 3-year-olds.
More than one.
They're all in their 30s and 40s now. But they were to a greater degree than Molly manageable. I don't know why we're doing this. I'm wasting valuable time. Back to your phone calls. Ramona is calling from Hammond, Indiana, listening on the Internet. Hey, Ramona.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I hate to end the night on such a negative note, but what you were saying earlier about the decision with the troops having equal time at home, equal
yes.
time there.
Yes.
As you know, my son's in Iraq, second tour.
Right.
He's been extended. His daughter and I, his 10-year-old daughter and I, we protest the war. He called me the other day, and his wife is divorcing him.
Oh, God.
So, you know, it's like, you know, that's hard. And the hard part is, let me give you a little history. He had Ashley when he was still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, his current wife, is Ashley's stepmom, and mm-hmm. they're close. And that's just another, you know, blow to Ashley.
Another casualty.
Yeah.
Maybe Ashley and her stepmom will maintain some kind of a relationship. Where's Ashley now? Is she in bed?
Yeah, she's in bed.
Is she? Yeah. Jesus. I just wonder how the troops deal with the vote that went down today, where the Republicans, every Democrat voted in favor of the troops, and with 4 exceptions, every Republican and Joe Lieberman voted against the troops. I just wonder how they deal with that.
I don't know. I mean, my son's reaction to his wife's request was, that's another thing the Army has taken away from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Ashley has change thrown at her. at the demonstration that we were at. She had change thrown and hit her.
Change?
Hit her in the arm.
Jesus, God.
Yeah, someone threw change out of the car and hit her in the arm. But she's back out there. She said she's not going to stop.
Well, the next time you call, hopefully it'll be when Ashley's up and she can chat with us again.
Yeah, it has to be on a Friday, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear it, Ramona. And please, in the morning when she gets up, give her a hug from the Malloy program. I mean that. I'm not just saying that like, you know, oh, give her a hug. Really, give her a hug from the Malloy program. Just tell her that Kathy and I just, you know, thinking about her, okay?
I sure will.
You will do that?
I will do that. Thanks.
Okay. All right, Ramona. We'll talk maybe Friday. I'd love to hear from her on Friday. Take care. Multiply that by how many thousands of soldiers? All right, hundreds. No thousands. And I do wonder how America's military deals with that vote today. A very simple amendment introduced by a combat veteran. Let's give the troops as much time at home as they have in theater. And the Republicans said no. No, we don't respect the troops. We'll suggest you put metallic ribbons on the back of your SUV, but we don't respect the troops. Screw the troops. We don't care. We just use that issue. Oh, my God. Think about that for 5 minutes and then see if you can go to bed tonight without choking on your own bile. I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for participating and hanging out tonight. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.